Voices of the Temple, official podcast of the Temple of Witchcraft, exploring mystery and magic through love, will, and wisdom. Hosted by Adam Sartwell.
Hi, listeners. Before we jump into who I have with me today, very special person, I want to just get us into sacred space. So take a moment, take a breath. And we call upon the great spirit that is the two who move as one, the goddess and the god, the lord and the lady, to be with us and to guide us. We call upon the three rays of love, will, and wisdom to empower us and bless us in our lives. So mote it be.
So mote it be.
So I'm here with Dawn Hunt. Say hello, Dawn.
Hello, Dawn. No, I just realized, as you said that, I was like, I made a happy face and then I went, oh, wait, we're not recording video. I have to speak clearly because you cannot see my facial expression.
Yes.
Hello, Adam, and thank you for having me on Voices of the Temple. I'm very excited to be here. Actually, any excuse to hang out with you is a good excuse to hang out with you.
Aw, so. Yay.
Yeah. Oh, sit and talk to Adam for a couple of hours? Okay.
My friend Glenn, I know he got it from some show, but he would always say, don't threaten me with a good time.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Yeah, real. I think the listeners are going to be like, am I just listening to two friends having a cup of coffee together? And the answer is yes.
Yeah, only mine's tea.
Oh, okay. Well, mine is coffee and it's humongous and cold brew and it's in this humongous ice tumbler. And it's like drinking rocket fuel. So
that's awesome.
That's why you're so mellow and chill. And I'm like, oh my God.
Oh, well, I have drank. Well, this is my second cup of tea. So who knows? And it is pretty black.
Yeah.
So my first question for you, because I have a list of questions, because I always come up with something so that we can talk about something, is how do you spiritually identify?
How do I spiritually identify? I spiritually identify as a kitchen witch, or at least that's the phrase I use most often is kitchen witch. Mm-hmm. But to be fair, I think the broader term of pagan suits me better. Mm-hmm. I say that I'm a kitchen witch because it is kind of like my default, and most of my practice is based around food, cooking, home magic, cottage magic, but again, within the realm of culinary craft. You know, I'm not somebody that really makes a lot of like soaps or tinctures, which can also be considered, you know, cottage witchcraft or home witchcraft, or hearth witchcraft. But in terms of my spiritual identity, mm-hmm. I think the broad term pagan speaks more fully to my more spiritual practices of, you know, deities and mm-hmm. ancestral work and belief, right? Because I don't want to choose. Like, I don't want to choose who I pray to, and I don't want to choose which type of, you know, oracle cards or tarot cards I'm working with, or which god I could talk to, or which angel I could. I want them all. I don't want to choose. I'm very greedy in that way. So I think I would say I am a kitchen witch, but I am pagan. I think pagan is a better term.
Yeah. So it is a feeling of, when you describe pagan, I see a feeling of openness, being able to work with whoever comes or whoever you need in that moment.
Yeah. And there's a freedom to it for me. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. That's a great identity. I love that. So,
thanks.
You have been a part of our community for many years. What is your sort of origin story? What drew you to the temple stuff?
This is a great question. Okay, so first of all, I am usually the interviewer, not the interviewee. So
Because
this
you
is
have your own
really
podcast.
because I have my own podcast. So this is like kind of uncomfortable and also awesome because no one has asked me that question before. So what drew me to the temple? Okay, so I'm gonna tell you, we have like a long time, right? Like we have like,
We can go as long as you want, really,
right?
but
Well,
I
no, but
will
like we can't.
probably break it into sections
Yeah,
if it goes too
I
long.
mean, I cannot hang out with you all day because I have to go to a market. I have to work. So I really only have like a couple of hours, but I'm going to tell you the story. I'm going to try to keep it as brief as possible. So, in case you couldn't tell from hearing my voice, I am originally from New York. I grew up on Long Island, New York. It's a terrible place. Don't go there. Long Island people, don't write to Adam and say that girl's full of shit. You know it's fucking terrible there. Listen, some people love it, and if you love it, good for you. I'm happy for you. It wasn't for me. And but I'm originally from there. I grew up there, and my partner, my husband, he also grew up there. And I started doing my business, which is Katrina Roar Kitchen Witchcraft, teaching classes on kitchen witchery and making, energetically and spiritually infused foods. I started doing that when I was still living there, and it was kind of like my side hustle, right? But we were traveling up to New England to do events and pagan pride days because there wasn't a lot going on in all Long Island, right? And I hate New York City even more than I hate Long Island. So just the vibe, it's just too much for me. Like it's just too busy, it's too crazy. So I wasn't going into the city to do events. I was leaving Long Island and I was going up to Connecticut and Massachusetts and New Hampshire to do these big pagan events, and found that the pagan and witchcraft community in New England was so vibrant, so loving, so open. They didn't look at me like, oh, who is this girl from New York? She doesn't belong here. I was very welcomed. Everywhere I went, I was very, very welcomed and not kind of like sneered at, like, oh, you practice this or you're not in that organization. Just felt really, really welcomed. So this is like 100 years ago, maybe 2010. I mean, it's a really long time ago. And I was at my very, very first Celebrate Samhain event when it was up in Peterborough, New Hampshire, really long time ago. And of course, I had heard that the great and powerful Christopher Penzack was going to be at this event. Okay.
Yes.
Now, I knew who Christopher Penzack was. Like every good pagan, every good witch knows who Christopher Penzack is because of his books. And like, full disclosure, Adam, I never read one of his books. I didn't, I was like, yes, I know he's a famous author. I know he's like, the king of he's like the Michael Jackson of witchcraft. So tell him I said that.
I will,
Okay.
yeah.
So like Raven Grimaldi is like the Elvis Presley of witchcraft, but Christopher Penzack is like the Michael Jackson of witchcraft. And I was like, okay, cool. But I didn't know who he was. We weren't friends. I didn't know what he looked like. I didn't know. And I heard somebody be like, oh, Christopher Penzack, he's over there. He's sitting at that table. And I'm like, oh, he's so frowny. Like, look at all the people. And everybody's in a really shitty mood. That's so, oh, they all look like they're really very uncomfortable and they don't want to be here. And I'm like, oh, that's not my vibe. Well, whoever's running the event at the time is a gentleman named Kevin, and he was very lovely. He's passed away,
May
and
he
the
rest in
community
peace.
misses him dearly. But Kevin asked if I would participate in that evening's ritual and if I would be one of the corner calls. And it was myself and Christopher and two other people who are the corner calls in this ritual. So we do this ritual, and for whatever reason, Christopher and I are standing across from each other. We had just met, and the person who's leading the ritual starts calling in the elements, and she starts going, saying things like, blow, wind, blow. And Christopher and I are staring at each other, cracking up. We cannot stifle the laughter. I don't know what was so funny in that. I couldn't even tell you what was so funny in that moment. But he and I are looking at each other and barely keeping our shit together in this very serious Samhain ritual, right?
Yes.
Trying to really be like, the best possible witches we could be, losing it, losing it. And that kind of bloomed this friendship between us. And as time went on, I moved from New York to I was actually living in New Massachusetts at the time before moving into New Hampshire. And I found myself that first year that I was living in Massachusetts alone on Beltane. And my husband was away or visiting his family or something. And I was alone. I had no friends in my neighborhood. I had no connections to community. I'd only been living in Massachusetts for a couple of months at that time. And I had heard through the grapevine, someone else that I knew was like, oh, Christopher Penzack has this Temple of Witchcraft, and they're doing an open Beltane ritual, and anyone can go. And I was like, oh my God, a Beltane ritual. I really want to go. And I went, and I had the best time. And everybody was like, oh my goodness, you're that kitchen witch. We met you at Celebrate Samhain. And I was just so welcomed in that moment. And I was like, oh, look at me. I feel like I'm coming home to this group of people who get me, who don't care where I come from, who don't care if my practice is exactly the same as theirs. And from that point on, I was like, no, this is where I'm supposed to be. And it all started there. And so I'm forever grateful that my path has brought me here. I'm sorry, I told you it was gonna be a long story.
No, it's okay. That's awesome. I was trying to think back to when that was, and when I first remember seeing you there, I remember having a discussion with another person, and I was like, "Oh my God, I love her rose quartz." And
I had that giant rose quartz necklace
yeah,
on.
that giant rose quartz. I was like, "Oh my God, I love her rose quartz." And that person, who is of a different sexual persuasion than me, goes, "What rose quartz? I was looking at something completely different."
Yes, my giant boobs. Yes.
Yes.
Yes,
And I
I
was
was
like,
wearing an incredibly revealing. It
was
was Beltane,
Beltane.
and I was like 50 pounds thinner, and I had this great dress on with a lunging neckline. And I believe that there was a running joke about my tit for the entire
I don't
day.
know about that, but I did like I was like, "Oh, see, I really am a gay man, because all I noticed was your jewelry."
Yes. 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 And I don't regret that moment. I was in the body I was in at that moment could handle that dress. And if I could get away with it now, I would. I can't. But it was Beltane. Like, when can you dress like that? You can't dress like that on every day and go to the supermarket. But I had that great dress on with the plunging neckline and this humongous piece of rose quartz. And I think I wore a flower wreath. And I was so like, okay, this is just how I want to be. This is, like in my heart of hearts, this is me celebrating my witchiness and the holiday and fertility and my body and sensuality and femininity and all these things.
Which is
And
very Beltane.
it's so Beltane. And I was kind of, it was one of those moments. I'm sure everybody has these moments, right? Where they're like, I want to do this thing and I'm super uncomfortable. And I'm gonna make the choice to do it or not do it. And I dressed a certain way that felt like my
Right
inner
to.
heart. And then my thought was like, well, I don't even know these people. So if I make a fool of myself, it doesn't really matter because I don't have to see any of them again. And yet at the same time, I walked in there being like my truest witchy self, and everyone was like, you're amazing, come hang out with us. And I was like, oh my God, am I? I feel like totally afraid of all of this, and I was embraced. And I feel like that is a consistent emotion, a consistent element of the temple community is that come as you are, come as you want to be, and you can be here. You can be whoever you want to be with us. And we're going to be whoever we want to be with you. And It's so fucking refreshing in the world to have a space where you know you can just be whatever it is you need to be in this moment with other people that get you. That was that feeling that night at Beltane for sure.
Awesome. Now, you, because we've talked before on your podcast, so tell us a little bit about your podcast so that the listeners of Voices of the Temple might find it if they wanted to imbibe.
So my podcast is called Conversational Witchcraft. And it really started because I wrote a couple books on kitchen witchcraft, and the first one released during like the very beginning of the lockdown, the pandemic, and there was no way of getting out into the world to talk about this. And I started being guests on people's podcasts. And those hosts were like, "You're really good at this. You should do this." And I was like, "Oh, what the hell? What again? What do I have to lose?" And so I started doing my own podcast. It's doing really, really well. And you've been a guest, and it was just so great to have you on. And I'm gonna say most of my guests, 90% of my guests are people that are in the witchcraft community or witchcraft community adjacent. But one of the things that I love about doing it is that, first of all, I have met amazing people that have become real friends that live on the other side of the world or the other side of the country, people that are over in the UK, and they've become real friends. And to be able to learn other people's traditions, you know, and go, "Oh, that's so different," but also look at those elements that are the same between what I practice and what you practice. And it's a lot of fun, you know. I think that it's just logical for me as a kitchen witch. One of the things that I love to do more than anything else is connect with people. And that always happens over a cup of coffee or over a good meal. And with the advent of Zoom, I can do this now, you know, digitally with folks and be in a, I can be in a room with you, but still in my own house, which is great because I don't have to wear real pants. And do you know what I mean? Like, that's the best. We can be in our pajamas and no one knows. But I really am enjoying doing the podcast. And again, that learning and then being able to take folks that are, you know, I've had some musicians on and I've had some performance artists on, and being able to talk to them about the energy work that they're doing through this medium versus, "Oh, I'm just, you know, gonna write or I'm just gonna teach." Not to diminish those things, because those things are also great, but to step out of what I consider to be witchcraft and go, "Oh, but wait a second, entrepreneurism is witchcraft, and dance is witchcraft, and flute playing is witchcraft." It's just so eye-opening to have those conversations and meet those people. And I just love it.
I once upon a time I read this book that they talked about how any art that you do, if you go far enough in it, it becomes magic. And I was like, that is so true, because I find witchcraft in the weirdest places sometimes, and you're like, that's awesome. Like, yes, you should be doing this. Putting the magic to the work that you're doing, you know?
Right. And like, I don't think even people realize that, especially with things that are of the arts, whether it's music or crafting or painting or dance, it's so magical because it really does start with intention. And the practices around that are so ritualized. You know, I mean, like if you know an artist, ask them about their process of painting. Right? They have a brush that is their favorite brush that is conducting the most energy, that is their wand. They have a vision in their head and they're using this to move that vision through their body onto a canvas. Like that is fucking magic. I don't care what you know, like that is fucking magic. It's the same thing if you're a writer, right? And you could be writing fiction. You don't have to be writing about witchcraft. You could be writing that's you'd be writing, you know, a romance novel. That's witchcraft. You're taking that vision, you're bringing it into the world, that practice of your true will and bringing your true will into life. And people don't realize that everything we do is witchcraft, right? We are witchcraft. We don't do witchcraft. We are witchcraft.
Yeah.
And I think that shift of a mindset is profound when you realize it.
Yeah. So Templefest is coming. And I know you are teaching, and I think you're vending too, right? No, you're not vending. Okay. So, because just for the listeners, she did shake her head.
I did. Right. No, I'm not vending. I'm not vending. I haven't been able to participate in Templefest in a very, very, very long time. I will say that I am incredibly grateful, for I was one of the very first four original vendors at the very first original Templefest when it was the seed of an idea, right? And it was like, there was like seven people. It was awesome. And now it's this huge weekend long event, and it's just amazing to see community come together in that way. I am not vending, so I will be there as Dawn the Kitchen Witch, teaching a class on kitchen witchery. Specifically, we're going to be talking about using food for divination. So, and why and how we do this. So the workshop will start with a little bit of like, just to cover all the bases, you know, what are your basics of kitchen witchcraft? And then why is this an important part of kitchen witchcraft? And how do we use these foods, regular everyday foods, to connect with spirit, connect with earth, and use them for guidance and inspiration in our daily lives. And then we're going to do a meditation, which usually I only have enough time to do like a 5-minute meditation. So I think we have 2 hours or an hour and a half. So I'm able to really, we're going to do a really good, long, delicious, super sink down in it meditation. And I'm excited about that. But I will not be vending Kuchina Aurora Kitchen Witchery products. And I know everybody's going to be pissed. I'm going to show up and everybody's going to be like, do you have olive oil? Do you have coffee? And I'm going to be like, no, I'm just here as me to enjoy the community, to teach my class. But the Robin's Nest will have all of my products for sale. So, you know, maybe I'll bring some books to sign or something like that, but I will not be vending them. Maybe just books.
Voices of the Temple is brought to you by our many wonderful sponsors for the Temple of Witchcraft Community Center Fund, including our anonymous and monthly contributors. Special thanks to the Robin's Nest, a metaphysical community in all ways for always. Located in Bellingham, Massachusetts, the Robin's Nest offers a wide selection of magical tools, divination decks, books, crystals, incense, herbs, oils, teas, and candles for all of your spiritual and magical needs. The Nest also offers up a wide range of services, including psychic readings, rituals, and classes. Shop online at therobinsnestma.com or come to visit in person and be greeted by the sounds of running water, tinkling chimes, and laughing voices as you step into the magical realm. If you would like to become a sponsor for Voices of the Temple and contribute to the Temple of Witchcraft Community Center Fund, please contact Debbie Stellhorn at Debbie, and that's an IE, Stellhorn at templeofwitchcraft.org. Or look for more information at our website at templeofwitchcraft.org.
Right.
I have to check with Templefest to make sure that that's okay.
Yeah, no, I believe they do have an author table that we'll be using on the days that are not Friday, because there's the midnight market, and during that time we'll be doing a silent auction.
Fun.
So I have fun. We've had donations of fun things to put out on that. We'll be using that table, and then it'll become a author table the next day.
Cool. So,
yeah.
Cool. So maybe you'll find me there.
Yeah, maybe. So You've written multiple books, but was your first book the temple fundraiser book?
So technically, no. My
Okay.
first book was a little self-published book
Yeah.
that I just called, Recipes for the Novice Kitchen with. And it was self-published and I did the whole thing myself. But it was like really published. I had an ISBN number and I was selling it online and everything. And then a couple, maybe after a couple of years, a year or so after I moved to Massachusetts and got into Temple, I got that great opportunity to work with the Temple and do that Temple cookbook called Taste from the Temple, which was a fundraiser cookbook, and it was collaborative between myself and Temple members. So
Yeah.
that was so much fun because I was able to put in a bunch of my own recipes, but then also gather recipes from Temple members that had significant magical or ancestral meaning to them, work those recipes out kitchen witchcraft wise, note them with whatever the magical uses or the properties of each of these recipes was, and then put them together in this collaboration. And it's just such a fun book, and it's so nice to hear all these other people's stories around food and around their memories around food and their rituals around cooking. And, again, food is so connective, and cooking is so connective for human beings, right? Like whatever we believe in and whoever we love and, whatever we do, we're all human beings. And one of the things all human beings do is eat food. And so many of us culturally and ancestrally have these ties, these threads between generations that are food related. So to share that with people, and again, going back to, how are we, look how different we are, but also look how the same we are. I think it never gets old. It never gets boring for me to find those things.
That's awesome. Now, you've obviously written other books beyond that. Do you want to tell us a little bit about them?
Sure. I have a beginner's guide to kitchen witchcraft, which is a really fun, cute little book. It's all of your basics. Right? Why we set up our kitchens the way we do. Why it's important to do this. What are the five tools that you need to begin your journey in kitchen witchcraft? And most of them you already have, right? So it's kind of bite-sized in terms of how to begin these practices, right? And then it's just a lot of easy recipes, right? Sectioned off, like, okay, we've got a whole chapter on self-care. We've got a whole chapter on health and healing. And again, there's five or seven recipes for each of those topics. So you could practice kitchen with, oh, I have a headache, or oh, I don't feel good, let me do this. But then also we've got some seasonal magic in there as well. So there is a recipe for every Sabbat on the wheel of the year, right? And that is something that I'm also exploring in writing a little bit more of. I don't want to give away too much of that, but that's kind of like a bite-sized version of that. And then I have a book called A Kitchen Witch's Guide to Love and Romance.
So we had a little internet kablooey and we lost each other for a moment there, but we're back now. And I think you were talking about books and cooking.
I
So,
think I was. I think I was talking about, you had asked, the last thing I remember was you asked me about my cookbooks. And I mentioned the beginner's guide, which is like really, bite-sized pieces and lots of good recipes and seasonal stuff. And then I was talking a little bit about a more in-depth book, which is Kitchen Witch's Guide for Love and Romance. And that book is more of a deep dive. It's very, very personal to write. Because it's called Kitchen Witch's Guide to Love and Romance, but it's misleading in its title because love and romance isn't necessarily what you think when it comes from my perspective. The whole first section is about loving yourself, The second part is about, relationships with others, be they familial or friends or work environment. And then the third section is about passion, which isn't, again, it's not necessarily about like, oh, maybe your long-term relationship has gone stale. It's more about like, I mean, there's some of that in there, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But there's also like maybe you used to love to paint or you used to love to play the piano and that was your passion. So how do we rekindle that? And we do all of those things through the lens of kitchen witchcraft and working with particular foods and their energetic qualities as aphrodisiac foods. Aphrodisiac meaning of Aphrodite, not like, oh, sexy time foods. I mean, yes, again, there's that as well, right? But love, beauty, romance, passion, joy, confidence, seeing ourselves in a certain way, seeing others in a certain way. And again, we do that all through the lens of kitchen witchcraft. So that is a little bit more of a deep dive. And the upcoming work, which I am now allowed to share, very
Yay.
exciting. I have nothing else except being able to share about it. It's a culinary kitchen witch's oracle deck. So it's all cards that are going to help you to find that guidance and inspiration in your daily life through very simple, everyday, practical ingredients, right? So you'd be able to just pull one card out of this deck and go, what is it that I need to learn today? Or what should I be paying attention to? Oh, I got the tomato card. The tomatoes are about giving and receiving love. So, what's my message? How do I take that into my day? And okay, maybe I'm going to add tomatoes to my salad to bring that. So, you can really use that. It's not necessarily just, okay, meditate about this or journal about this, but it's here's practical ways to incorporate kitchen witchcraft into your everyday life. And there is a PDF that goes with it. So, you would scan the barcode if you wanted more information. And it's going to bring you to a private PDF that has recipes that coordinate with each one of these cards. Hence the class I'm teaching at Temple Fest being about using food for divination. And so that's what I'm working on right now. And that deck should be available in early 2025. We're working on mechanical drawings right now, so should have a pre-order link. I keep being like, can we please get a pre-order link? I'll let everybody know as soon as it's ready because I've been working on this for over a year and I am dying to have it done.
Yeah. Well, I neutralize you dying to have it done, but
Yeah, neutralize the death.
no. We
No death,
neutralize
no
that.
death.
You are excited about having
I'm anxious, very anxious
it
to have it out in the world. Like writing a book. Is a it's a long process, as you well know. It's a
Right.
long process, but the artistic element of making a deck is an like it's not just me, right? So what I was lucky enough, I was able to choose my own artist, and she's amazing. She's a wonderful young woman who also helps me out at Kachina Aurora. Her name is Alyssa Pelletier, and this is not a deck that was made with AI art. This is a real artist who painted these pictures, and she just added so much whimsy and personality to it. So you have that, and you have layout, and there's that artistic element of, what kind of font are we going to use, and what colors the background's going to be, and kind of that stuff you don't have to worry about so much when you're writing a book, because
Yeah.
you're just as the author, you're just writing the book. But I was very lucky to get a lot of creative control over this project. I've been very lucky to have a lot of creative control over most of my projects. So again, we're working on it. It's a long process, and I cannot wait to be able to bring this into the world. I feel like I've been holding it in for so long, and I haven't even been able to talk about it,
Yeah.
right? So I only got the green light to be able to talk about it from the publisher like this week. So very exciting. Very.
Oh, that's awesome.
Thanks.
Yay. So, my last question is, what is the best advice that you've ever been given or have given to other or come up with yourself that you could give to the community to help them in some way?
The best advice that I've been given
or that you've come up with.
or that I have, like, that I could impart on other people.
See, that's why I asked these questions beforehand, and I didn't give you anything.
No, I like the spontaneity of it, because those are like, there's the best advice I've ever been given, and then like what advice I would give someone else, because they're different.
Well,
Because
you can say both if you want.
the best advice I've ever been given was probably from my father when he talked me into moving out of New York. I was going to him for advice about like, should I leave everything I've ever known and my family and my this? And I thought he was gonna be like, no, you should stay here and make it work. And instead, he said, go and figure it out. And if you're not happy, you can always come back, but you'll never know, right? Like his whole thing was like, if I had to boil it down into sound bite, it was, you lose 100% of the chances you don't take. So just fucking do it. But the advice I would give to others, which I try to give to myself on a regular basis, and I'm gonna say how it sounds in my head, and then I'm gonna break it down and make it all nice and fluffy for you. Okay? No one's fucking looking at you. And what I mean by that is, get out of your own way. Get out of your own head. It doesn't matter what other people think. If you feel like you want to show up at Beltane in a low-cut dress and a flower wreath because that's how you feel on the inside, do that. Because people are so into their own selves and their own lives and their own insecurities that most of the time they're not stressing over how you look and how you present because they're so into themselves, right? So no one's looking at you. And what I mean is pay attention to yourself, do the thing for you because it's no one else's concern, especially when it comes to the way we feel about our physical bodies and our appearance in such an appearance-driven world. Like I posed the question, and I am a chubby girl who has a lot of self-image issues, right? And that's interesting because I'm a kitchen witch and my whole life is about food, right? So there's that push and pull relationship with food and the magic of food and how I feel about my body. And there's a lot of that in my work, right? But I want to pose the question, have you ever been to the beach? What do you remember about being at the beach? Do you remember the person on the beach that had a body that wasn't typical, that was wearing a bathing suit that maybe was too small for them? Or do you remember being at the beach with your friends, enjoying the waves, enjoying the sun, the time that seagull stole an ice cream out of your hand? What do you remember? Okay, well, the other people at the beach also remember their experience. They don't remember you or what you look like on the blanket next to them, right? All that to say is no one's looking at you in that way. Get out of your own way, be who you are, and fuck them if they don't like it.
That's
Right?
excellent advice. Yeah,
Right? Be
yeah.
your authentic self. And again, I could say that in a nicer, flowery way.
Yeah.
Take the risks. Be who you are. And I know that's a hard thing to say in today's climate, right?
Yeah.
We can't all be who we are outwardly all the time. It's terrifying. It's terrifying to be an open witch. It's terrifying to be, a person of color. It's terrifying to be in the LGBTQ community and live authentically, openly, loudly. It's very scary because there are real threats. So I'm not saying put yourself in danger. I'm saying do the thing that makes you a little bit uncomfortable. Not the thing that's dangerous. Do the thing that makes you a little bit uncomfortable because that's where you're going to grow and that's where you're going to have experiences and that's where you're going to find your tribe. Like I found my tribe at the Temple of Witchcraft.
Well, I think that's a lovely place to stop. If you feel good about that, feel
I feel
complete.
good. I feel good about that.
All right. Awesome. Well, thank you, Don, for being on the podcast. This is awesome.
Thanks for having
And I
me.
loved being on your podcast, so thank you for getting me on there.
And I loved having you.
But And so let's just close down our space and take a deep breath. We give thanks to the great spirit that is the two who move as one, the goddess and the god, the lord and the lady that work through us and work with us. We give thanks to all the spirits and powers that aid us and bless us in our lives. Blessed be. Merry
Blessed
meet.
be.
Merry meet. Merry part. And
And
merry
marry
meet
me
again.
again.
Bye, listeners.
You've been listening to Voices of the Temple. The contents of this podcast are copyright 2010 of the Temple of Witchcraft. For more information, please visit templeofwitchcraft.org.